The elephants keep trampling their garden for their vegetables. And someone said, there's elephants in Kenya. Yes, there are. And they keep trampling the garden. It's not gophers like we have here. It's elephants. They're just a little bit bigger. And so they're going to go over there and try to do something. I said, just get a bunch of mice and string them all the way around the compound. It worked in Dumbo. So, well, that's what our team's doing. This morning, I want to finish our series before we get started in the new year. And I invite you to be a part of the Institutes. If you've never been a part of a Bible study class or Growing Kids God's Way or the Wild Men at Heart or the Women's Study, the Psalm 23, the Shepherd Study, we have some tremendous classes coming up. The new series I'll be beginning in January for 12 weeks is going to be the Lord's Prayer. We're going to break down the Lord's Prayer each week. Our Father, who art in heaven, each week we'll just take each part. And so we'll study the greatest prayer ever prayed. And then today we're going to finish our series on What the Dickens. And it's the ghost of Christmas all year round. It amazes me that they've stopped playing Christmas music. I checked almost every station. It took me a lot to even find a station that had something with Christmas music. Isn't it amazing we're not sure what to do with Christ the day after Christmas? And it's so easy to miss it. We can miss it just without even trying. And I don't want you to miss Christmas this year. Even though the music stopped, Christmas has just begun. Even though the music has stopped, Christmas has just begun. There we go. Good job. Even though the music has stopped, Christmas has just begun. Good. They were a little better than this side that time. I know that when I was younger, it's interesting because a lot of people come out. We had standing room only at our first traditional Christmas Eve service. I was amazed at that. But then I remember when I was younger as a young youth pastor, and youth pastors can get away with saying things, and I was relegated in church, like our intern, to doing the announcements. I didn't preach a lot, but I got to do the announcements. And I remember as a young youth pastor just kind of getting in there, and I'd get my 2 cents in. And one Christmas, I got up, and we had 3 services full to the house on Christmas. You couldn't find a seat in church on Christmas. And I remember getting up that day, and I said, without the pastor's knowledge, I got up, and I said, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and if I don't see you again, I'd like to wish you a Happy Easter as well. Now, some people chalk that up to just being the youth pastor. The pastor didn't chalk that up to any of that. And the board was not too happy with me either. But you know, there was truth in that. Because my family and I were card-carrying members of the C&E Club. We went every Christmas and Easter. My mom dressed me up in all those outfits. I had the plaid stripe Bobby Brady special. And I had that cheap, woolish, kind of itchy sweater thing that you put on, and it had a belt that matched that came around. And I remember thinking, why do I have to? You'll wear it. And we fought all the way to church, put our smiles on, and got our duty done. We went every Christmas and Easter, and once in a while we showed up in between. And so I don't know, when I was younger, I thought I would say that to a congregation. Probably not the thing to say, even though it may be. Because somewhere, the world doesn't know what to do with Jesus now that Christmas is over. What do I do with him? Do I put him on a helicopter and put him in Barbie's Playhouse? Honestly, I think the world does. I think the world just sets him aside. I mean, the sales are still going on, the Christmas sales, but I dare you to go up and let people know all week long, hey, Merry Christmas to you. I dare you to go skipping through the mall singing Jingle Bells. Well, you wouldn't do that anyway, but some of you might. That's the scary part. What are you doing? The pastor said there'll be half our congregation going up and down the mall. And I'm going to get my video camera because that'll go viral on YouTube. Many miss Christmas. This morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke me up and I thought, I better write this down. And you may want to write this down. You may not. That's okay. Many miss Christmas because they focus all year on one day. Instead, because of one day, I focus all year. The Lord woke me up to tell me that this morning, so I thought I'd tell you that this morning. Let me say that again. Many people will miss Christmas because all year long they focus on one day. Instead, I want to focus on one, or I want to look at one day so that I'm focused all year long. You see, Christmas, you can miss it on December 20th. You can miss December 25th, but you don't miss Christmas. Christmas happens all year long. Christmas is a life, not a day. It's all about living out Christ in us in the world. You see, it just began for me, and I'm ready. I'm ready to have songs sung in January. I want to sing Joy to the World. In March, I want to sing Deck the Halls. In July, let's sing I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It's okay to do that. You know that, right? Because Christmas is not December 25th. That's the event. Christmas has just gotten started. The Mass of Christ has just begun, but we can miss it so easy. The other night, I can't hardly believe this, but we had our Christmas shopping done. I was done a week before Christmas was even here. And I sat around thinking, something's wrong. You get that feeling? I'm not out there. I'm not in the hustle and the bustle. I'm not in the screaming crowds. I'm not trying to grab the last toy and get beat up for it. I'm not in that. I'm sitting around just kind of enjoying it. And then I'm thinking to myself, should I go buy some more? I'm feeling guilty. You know that feeling, that itch you get, like you should be out doing something? And so I just relaxed and started enjoying it. Well, Thursday we took the family. We went to see a movie and we just kind of relaxed. And we got out of the theater about 9:30 at night. And, you know, everybody's doing their panic things. And the mall's kind of crazy. And we got out of there and as a family and just kind of relaxing, enjoying it. As we looked out on 24th Avenue, right in front of the mall, there's a lady broke down in her car. And there's a young man trying to push it. And everybody kind of wanted to get home. And I looked in the back and I said, what do you think? And I love it. The whole family said, let's go for it, Dad. And I said, all right, Christmas is just beginning. And we made our way out. And we got out there in a semi about rear-ended because you couldn't hardly see out there in her lights and everything. And I thought, oh, we got to do something. So I turned the flashers on, got right behind her, and my son jumped out and says, we used to do this in wrestling, just pushing cars that are shut off. So he got out there, and he started pushing. I dialed 911 to let them know what was going on, and we got her pushed off of 24th Avenue. We got her into the mall parking lot, and she said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I don't know what happened. The car just died. I said, well, let me try something. I know nothing about cars, right? Yeah, I'm the guy that you want to be broke down with, okay? I won't fix anything, but I will be entertaining, all right? The show, I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Here we go. So it's a clutch. I get in there. I can't even hardly get in there. The seat won't go back. It's just one of these little Mopar European cars. And I'm in there, and I'm trying to do this. I can't even fit. And I'm clutching, and I go to turn it, and sure enough, it's not doing anything. And I can smell gas. It smells flooded. So I try to choke, and that doesn't work. And I get out. And then I say to her, like any guy that thinks he knows, you know, it's like tool time. You know, why don't you pop the hood? Let me take a look at the engine. I don't know what I'm going to look at. But I thought, pop the hood. So they pop the hood, and I'm out there looking. She goes, what do you think? I'm thinking, Lord, this is what I know, okay? I said, Lord, I don't know anything about cars. I said, I don't know what's going on here. I saw the gas had half a tank. And then up comes the mall security guy. He comes up, and he's got a flashlight. He says, well, let me try this. And he undoes the spark plug. Go ahead and fire it now. And he puts his key on there. Yep, you got spark. You got this. You got this. You got that. It just isn't going. And she starts about crying. She goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, do you have anybody you can call? She goes, I don't have any family. And this older lady, she says, I don't have any. I said, well, what's your name? She says, Mary. Now, why does that? Now, what if her name was Matilda? What is it? Mary. Well, but her name was Mary. And here we are. We have Mary the night before Christmas, and she's stranded, and she has nowhere to go. And I said, can I give you a ride? She goes, I don't know what I'm going to do with my car. I don't want it to get towed. And so the guy writes down our license plate, says, it's not going to get towed. We'll leave it here. She goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any money. I don't know anybody. I don't have anything. I said, we'll give you a ride. So we took her, and she lives north now. We started getting her up to her apartment. I said, listen, I've got a mechanic. You call my mechanic. So we're dropping her. She goes, oh, thank you. You've just made my Christmas. See, Christmas is happening every day. And she said, you just made my Christmas. I said, here, call this guy. He's my mechanic. And you tell him that his pastor said, do whatever it takes. She goes, you're a pastor. I said, yeah. She goes, really? What church? And I said, well, you probably haven't heard of it. It meets out in a mall. It's Grace Church. She goes, oh, Grace Church, you did the reverse Christmas. I got food from you guys and stuff. Everybody I know is talking about you guys. And I thought, you just made my Christmas. So I'm just sitting there thinking, Lord, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for doing this in my life. Thank you. That just made me feel good. I didn't stop there to get to feel good. I just stopped there because she needed help. And the kid said, go for it. You see, sometimes we can miss Christmas and it's right there being pushed down the road. Sometimes we can miss it because we're not sure what to do with Jesus now that Christmas is over. Well, feeding 7,000 people, giving 1,000 toys to children. Well, we're done now. What do we do? Oh, no. 75 families last Sunday after church, and Roger was there till 6 p.m. and his team, and they did a wonderful job. The next day, about 17 people kept walking in going, is this where the Toys for Tots are? No, that's down there, but do you need some food? What? We got food. Oh, yeah, come on in. And out they go. You see, Christmas, you can miss it if you're not looking for it. And it's so easy to miss. We had a wonderful Christmas Eve service here Sunday night. My daughter, who's a 10-year-old, absolutely couldn't wait for church. I mean, she loved playing Mary. She loved the whole goat thing and all that. But as soon as we were done, 7 o'clock, I know in her mind, she's going, okay, 6 to 7, 6 to 7. Okay, 7 o'clock, we're done. 7:02, Dad's locking the church. 7:03, we're in the van. It's about a 10-minute drive. 7:13, we're walking through the door. At 7:15, we're opening presents. I know that's her process because I'm standing here greeting people. They're making their way out. Dad, let's go. Dad, let's go. Dad, let's go. Dad, let's go. Can we leave? I said, I can't. I'm the pastor. I got to stay till everybody's gone. And she said, well, they can go on their own. Let's go. So in her mind, she has that excitement and that anticipation. She is ready to go. There are Christmas presents that need to be unwrapped. 7:15 rolls by. There's still, oh, it's full. And we've got straw up here and other stuff up here that goat got scared when he jumped and left some souvenirs. I'll tell you this, it wasn't gold, frankincense, or myrrh. But I know it was there at the first Christmas. And so we're cleaning up, and I mean getting the straw up and all that stuff. Was it worth it? Absolutely. Our team did a great job. But we're here vacuuming. We're setting stuff up. We want to make sure it's ready for you this morning. And so we're doing that. We're not coming Christmas Day. I said, honey, we're going to get this done. Dad, can we go? Dad, can we go? Dad, can we go? I said, we're going to go, honey. Christmas is going to happen. Don't worry. 7:30, Dad, can we go? 7:40, Dad, 8 o'clock, Dad. Dad, now she's sitting in the corner, and Christmas just will never come. 8:15, 8:30, 8:40. We lock up the church. Let's go. Okay, we're going. We hit I-94, and we're making our way back into town, and right where the ramp is at the curves, there's a car with its flashing lights on, and I could see up ahead, cars are just flying by. You know why? Because everybody is going to Christmas. And how easy it will be to miss Christmas. And I looked in the mirror and I said, what do you think, kids? And I saw a 10-year-old's eyes just go. And then I heard, go ahead. And I pulled over and we stopped. I put my flashers on. I went back. And here's a mom from Detroit with her two little kids, her two kids. And they're in there. And she says, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. It just quit working. And I said, okay, well, do you have power? She goes, yeah, it's overheating. There's smoke coming out of the engine. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know anything about cars. But I know something about Christmas. That if we don't do something, we'll miss it. And so I said, well, let me see what I can do. I said, fire it over. And it fired over. I said, you better shut it off. It was well over into the red. It was definitely overheating. I said, do you know anyone? She says, I'm from Detroit. My husband's a truck driver. He's been out of work for 2.5 years. We have nothing. I have no one to call. We don't have a phone to call anyone. I just left my brother-in-law's in Marysville. I said, well, maybe they could help. They don't know anything. They don't have anything. I said, all right, pop the hood. Have you ever been there? I don't know what I'm going to do. She pops the hood. My son comes back, and I said, I don't know what's going on. He goes, well, I said, ma'am, do you have any tools? No. Do you have a flashlight? No. So we go to the van. We look for a flashlight. We look for some tools. We came up with my cell phone that has a camera on it. We turn the flash on. And he had a fingernail clippers that he had brought with him to church. That's what we have. And I said, ma'am, this is all we have. She goes, what do you think? And I looked underneath, and I saw a fluid. And I thought, oh, a hose has burst or her radiator's blown. And she's lost everything out of here. I said, I don't know. She goes, this is the only vehicle my family has. We're on our way to see Grandma. She's really ill. She's up here north of town. We're not from here. And we just wanted to see her one last Christmas. And I said, okay, God, I don't know anything about cars. I don't have a tool. But it's Christmas. And so I said, okay, well, let me see what I can do. I said, Spencer, get me a light. So he turns on the flash of the cell phone. And I looked, and there's a radiator hose and the clamp, and it just popped off the radiator. I said, oh, that's all that's wrong. And I said, okay, tool. And he hands me the fingernail clippers. I began to unscrew the clamp, and I got it loosened up. I got it back on there, and I began to tighten it and tighten it and tighten it. I thought, okay, I think it'll hold, but it could sure use some more stuff. We could sure use some fluid here. Does anybody have any water? No. And I told her what I was doing, and she came back there, and she was just in tears. I'm just going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, ma'am, it's going to be okay. I'm a pastor. And we just left our Christmas program. And she goes, you know what? All these people kept driving by, and I just kept thinking, please, would somebody stop? She goes, you're a miracle. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, I do. You're a miracle. And she hugged me. You're a miracle. Oh, it's just such a miracle. This is a miracle. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know, we had our Christmas last week, and my daughter here, she was in the play. And we go to church at Bethel Nazarene down in Detroit. And just thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. And up pulls a state trooper. And he walks up on the scene. He's got his lights. I feel much safer now that he's got his lights on in the middle of the night. And he pulls up, and he comes up. He goes, hey, what's going on? She goes, do you believe in miracles? And he goes, ma'am? She goes, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but do you believe in miracles? This is a miracle. And he goes, can I help you? And I got to chatting to him. I said, do you know so-and-so? He's my neighbor. He's the state. Oh, absolutely. And this is my son and his. Oh, yeah. And so right there, we had Christmas. Right there on I-94, Christmas was happening. Why? Because Christmas. You can miss it because the world doesn't know what to do with Jesus today because it was yesterday. And all those sales are going to start ending and all the trees are coming down and all the lights are going to disappear. And the poinsettias and the cards and the Merry Christmas and the music's already gone. But know this, that you can bring Christmas to the world because Christmas has just begun. The Mass of Christ in our hearts. And in this story, there are three wonderful characters. And Simeon, also known as Simon, Simeon teaches us this. The first character I want you to know teaches us that Christmas can break out anytime, any place. Simeon is in a place, in a church, that's dead. He's going to the synagogue like he does every day. I mean, listen to these words. This is great. If you've never heard boring words, it says this. When the time of the purification according to the law of Moses. Can I tell you? He was doing what the law of Moses told him to do. He went to church. Oh, we got another kid. Purification, quod nomen mihi esse. I like dominoes more than you do. And he's doing, listen, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. He's doing the law of Moses. He's doing the right thing. But if you were to take your Bible and you were to go to the first chapter of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and you went to that page right here, and it says Matthew, New Testament, and the last prophet, Malachi, Old Testament. And if you were to take your fingers and hold that one page up, here it is, one page. You know what that one page represents? 400 years of boring church. God doesn't speak for 400 years. he's going to church, and church is dead. Do you know that 6 out of 10 churches are dying today in America? 6 out of 10 churches are dying. And it's not because they're not doing things right. It's because they don't have Christmas. The Mass of Christ, the Savior of the world, God is silent, and we need Christmas. And Simeon brings Christmas and teaches us in the middle of Simeon's life, showing up at the church, Christ comes in. And I want you to know, no matter what valley, no matter what desert you're in your life today, that Christ can come right into the middle of that and he can change everything. Christmas can happen on I-94. Christmas can happen in your home today. My son called from Afghanistan yesterday. What a wonderful conversation that was. I said, what are you going to do for Christmas? What's your duty? He says, well, I'm working 12 hours today. Well, what are your duties? 12 hours I'm sitting on the cage. What that means is this. His duty yesterday for Christmas, while you were at home, his duty, along with so many other heroes, was sitting on top of a cage overseeing all of these prisoners, these terrorists. And know this. It's not a pleasant place. They have the #2 terrorist in the world, most dangerous man alive. He gets to make sure they don't get out so that you can have Christmas in your home in safety. And for 12 hours, he and all his men, they sat and his guys, they took care of us from about 10,000 miles away. And I said, so what, that's what you did for Christmas? Is there anything else? No celebration? He goes, well, last night, Dad, a bunch of us got together to make a video we were going to put on YouTube. I said, oh, boy. I'm thinking all these, just these huge, you know, Rambo guys carrying their, you know, A4, you know, their guns. And they've got these machine guns. And, you know, that's their little babies that they've got named and everything. And you know, these guys. I thought, what video? He says, we're going to make a Christmas carol. Really? He says, last night, Christmas Eve, this is what we did. He said, we got together with a video camera, a bunch of us, and we were going to sing a song and videotape it. And something happened. And for the next 2 hours, we went from barrack to barrack, from place to place. We went Christmas caroling. He said, it was so great. He said, we went and we just sang to everybody. A bunch of soldiers are out singing to a bunch of other soldiers. He says, we went by the shower house and we heard someone showering. We stepped inside and we started singing. And we heard, who's out there? And it was our commander, so we all went running. We weren't sure how he was going to respond. I said, really, Christmas can happen anywhere. And if Christmas can happen on I-94 and Christmas can happen in Bagram, Afghanistan, then Christmas can happen in your heart every day, no matter what your situation is. Simeon teaches us that after 400 years of a desert, after going over and over and over, and church is the most boring thing in the world, that Christ comes in and brings life in the middle of our life. That's what Simeon teaches us. Anna, I love Anna. Anna's in this story, and it says, Anna, look at her story. Isn't this great? She doesn't get in the story too often, but Anna, in verse 37, is a beautiful, beautiful lady. It says that she never left the temple but worshiped night and day. She was 84 years old. She'd been married to her husband for 7 years. Now, a young lady back then would get married probably around the age of 15. So let's say she was average. She got married around the age of 15. Her husband dies 7 years later. She's 22 years old and she's a widow. And the Bible says that every day she worshiped God night and day in the temple. For 62 years she went to church and she worshiped God day and night. And you know what Anna teaches us? Anna teaches us that Christmas is a daily thing. That Christmas ought to happen every day. And could you imagine? She got to hold the baby. You know when babies are born? Here, would you like to hold the baby? Ooh, okay, wash your hands. Oh, now hold them like this. Make sure you get... 62 years she waited for Christmas to come. And oh, did it come. She held God in her arms with the soft skin and the little eyes. And Anna got to hold God in her arms. Now, I tell you what. You worship God for 62 years. I want you to know Christmas will come. Christmas is coming to those of you who say every day, Christmas. God, every day I worship you. For those of you that learn the psalmist's words in Psalm chapter 1, to meditate on the word of God day and night, you will be like a stream of water welling up to eternal life, and whose leaf never withers, and whatever you do shall prosper. That woman understood that for 62 years, and Christmas came. I want you to know something. Christmas is going to happen in July. Christmas happens in Afghanistan. Christmas happens in China. Christmas is happening in North Korea behind Mr. Ill, who's trying to destroy the world. Christmas is happening today. There are worshipers that are happening in North Korea today that are worshiping Christ just like you this morning, because Christ has come. And because Christ has come, no one can stop that. That's what we learned from Anna. What a wonderful thing, Anna, that you've taught us that it's 365 days a year. I've been to Frankenmuth. You've been to Frankenmuth, and they've got a little place over there that has some Christmas decorations. There's a building over there. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's called? Well, that's amazing. You live a couple hours away, and everybody knows that. Because they do Christmas not one day a year, but 365. It's just like a weightlifter. You don't go lift weights one day and hope to have muscles and look like me. No, this took years to build. It takes time. And so all of you that make all these commitments and you're going to go work out, can I tell you something? You don't go lift one day and say, I'm good for the year. And then the other 364 days you go to McDonald's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You will not have the body of a weightlifter. You see, Pistol Pete Maravich didn't say, I'm going to be the greatest college basketball player the world has ever known. He still holds the record for 43 points a game average for 4 years of college basketball. And they said, well, how did you do it? It's because he said, I practiced for 10,000 hours before I graduated high school. You see, if you want to be great at something, you do it every day. If you want to be great at Christmas and you want to bring Christmas to the world, you got to do it every day. You got to practice the Mass of Christ. It's pretty simple. And then we learn from Mary and Joseph the final thing. Mary and Joseph did two things. They brought Jesus to church at the beginning of the story, and then they brought Jesus to their hometown, the end of the story. We are to bring Christ to our church, and we are to bring Christ to our community. Christmas must come here, and Christmas must go there. We need the Mass of Christ. I had a phone call to my mother to wish her a Merry Christmas, and just, you know, things change, isn't it something? You want to be with your loved ones, and you know what Christmas is all about? You know what Mary and Joseph brought us? They brought us the Christ. You know what that represents? Life. We have life. You know what makes church alive? Christ. Without Christ, there's no life. You know what makes our community alive? Christ. What's going to help our country isn't money, it's Christ. What's going to help our doctors isn't more books, it's Christ. What's going to help your finances isn't Wall Street, it's Christ. What brings you life is Christ. And Mary and Joseph brought the community the Christ child. And I say to you, bring Christ. I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she said, the guy who's like another dad to me, I grew up with him in California, Sergeant Bill Tweedy. My dad and him started as motorcycle chips together. They were cops on bikes. They were sergeants together. This guy comes and lives at our house for 3 months out of the year to help pheasant hunt and do stuff. And I got the word he had a brain tumor, and we just got the news, 6 months to live. He's like a dad to me. And I thought, oh, he doesn't know Christ. He wasn't even part of our C&E club. He thought that was strange that we did that. I don't think he's ever, hardly ever in his life, been to a church service ever. It still happens in our world today. And yet, in this time, when he's about to die, the question is this: where is life when I'm about to die? My dad's flying out in a week, and I'm praying that he'll share the Christ, that Bill will have Christmas. See, he celebrated December 25th. He's never had Christmas. We need to bring Christmas to the world. We've been looking for life forever. The world has it. In fact, we've been looking for that. I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. I don't want to be sick. Nobody wants to be sick. Everybody's been searching for it. In fact, I printed it out here just for your information. We've been looking for the fountain of life, the fountain of youth forever for thousands of years. The Babylonians searched for it. Alexander searched for it. Preston John, indigenous people in the Caribbean, the age of exploration. Everybody's been looking for the fountain of youth. Did you know that? Everybody believed in every culture that somewhere in the earth there's a water spring, a fountain, somewhere. And if you drink it, you'll never get old. And they've been looking for it. And every culture, and I printed this out, I mean, it blew my mind. I thought it was just Ponce de Leon that was looking for the fountain of youth. Do you know, he's just the most famous one that you know about. They looked for the fountain of youth. They believed it existed. And I want you to know today, it does exist. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. Would you stand up? I need a volunteer over here. Somebody just stand up. There you go. Would you, every 5 seconds, just count, you know, five, every, and just say now out loud. Start. Say now, and then count to five, and do it again. And just don't stop. Every 2 seconds, I need you to say now, nice and loud. Every 2 seconds. They're looking for the answer. They're looking for the fountain of youth. A child just died. Another one did. Another one. Every 5 seconds, a child in this world dies because they don't have water. While we're sitting in church, this is what's happening. Every 2 seconds, they estimate that every 2 seconds, someone dies and goes into eternity without knowing Jesus Christ, of ever having Christ. Yeah, people are dying without water. People are dying not going to heaven. The only way for them to stop is when Christ comes in somewhere, when someone gets some water. You know what's interesting? Keep going. These represent people. 80,000 people die every day without Christ or ever having taken him as their Savior. Children are dying all over the world because they can't have a drink of clean water. Have a seat. Thank you, ladies. Here's the point. A woman discovered the fountain of youth 2008 years ago. No, back off a couple of years, give or take, according to the BCE or BC. She was walking down the road. She stopped, and this was happening, and this was happening, and she met a guy, and she said, "I'm getting water." And he said, "Ma'am, would you like to know where the fountain is?" And she said, "Excuse me? Are you greater than Jacob?" And he said, "Jacob, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink. I know where the well is. I know where the fountain is that comes up. And if you take a drink of that water, you will never thirst again." And the woman at the well in John chapter 4 said, "I want to drink." He says, "Ma'am, take a drink." She took a drink. And that stopped. And that stopped. And she ran into town and she told everybody about this Jesus. She had Christmas. And it wasn't even Christmas time. Can I tell you something? The world is simply waiting for us to be focused all year long. Christmas is just beginning. So if you want to sing and skip down the mall, please do. If you'd like to give someone a glass of water and have church on I-94, please do. If you'd like to go to Africa and build a fence, please do. If you'd like to hug someone and tell them how great God loves them and bring Christmas to their life, please do. Christmas is just starting, folks. Yesterday was December 25th, but Christmas is happening the rest of the year. Would you stand with me?